Becca, ordained interfaith minister, Reverend Becca Bean, is also well on her way to becoming a, after many years, a credentialed, licensed Unity teacher. And I'm so glad that she's going to be with us today to share her wisdom and impart the wisdom of Desmond Tutu and Martin Luther King Jr. I believe her talk title is King, Tutu, Me, and You. And the affirmation that Becca chose to support her message today is from today's Daily Word. I rise in consciousness to help create a world that works for all. What a perfect message on this Martin Luther King Eve. And to kick us off with today's very special message is the lovely, very talented, our very own, Patricia Boyle.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Nobel Peace Prize laureate and architect of the nonviolent civil rights movement, was among the 20th century's most influential figures, one of the greatest orators in U.S. history. King also authored several books. His speeches and sermons and writings are inspirational and timeless. King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, April 4th, 1968.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
Good morning, my Unity friends. I am so thrilled to be with you this morning as we celebrate this 36th commemoration of the birth of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I have to tell you right out of the box, as an old Southern white woman, I am so honored and humbled to be standing in this pulpit today. It's a huge responsibility to step into the spot to speak this morning, but I feel the love and support of this beautiful community coming to me from all directions, and with your help and God's help, I'm going to do my best. So this morning, as we honor the amazing spiritual and political presence of Dr. King, I also want to share a bit about another spiritual icon, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who made his transition in Cape Town, South Africa, just a couple of weeks ago on December 26th at the age of 90. Some of us may be familiar with Tutu's galvanizing work to help bring apartheid to a close in South Africa in the 1980s, or perhaps his leadership on the Trust and Reconciliation Commission there, or maybe even more recently, his long and loving friendship with the Dalai Lama and their beautiful collaboration together on the Book of Joy. As Brett mentioned our talk title this morning, you may also be wondering where else we're going to go today with King, Tutu, me, and you. Well, I think Dr. King and Archbishop Tutu, known to his close friends as the Arch, are both treasured and significant role models for all of us. I believe it will be worth our time today to look at their remarkable similarities in purpose and their important differences. Their lives can be great sources of inspiration as we move forward in this new year. You know, I think every fledgling minister struggles at first to find their voice for the pulpit. I used to watch Kathy Grant and Gail and John Shelby Spong and think, man, I wish I could tell it like those guys. But somehow when we listen to Dr. King, it's almost easy to imagine him maybe even as a little boy in his crib already speaking with that resonant pulpit voice. That gorgeous old school classical Baptist preacher, so rich with gravitas, raised as a preacher's kid, a third generation minister. There seemed to almost be a genetic predisposition to stir our hearts and minds with his deep and intellectual interpretations of spirit. He always stood so tall and majestic in the pulpit, a solid figure of a man. Solemn and measured in delivery, with the power to draw us in and compel us to hang on every word. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, on the other hand, has been joyfully described as a black leprechaun. Physically, a small man, the Arch radiated joy and gregariousness despite his deeply passionate fearlessness and sense of mission. He was known for his spontaneous dancing in the pulpit, even up and down the church aisles on occasion. He was exceptionally witty and loved to laugh with his high-pitched but warm, engaging chuckle. His longtime friend, Bob Geldorf, once said, "He was the smallest giant I have ever met." Back in 2008, I had the life-changing experience of visiting South Africa. My dear buddy Claire had been working there for a couple of years, leading training workshops and HIV and AIDS education. I remember her telling me that every training session always began with a time of worship and praise, where everyone there clapped and sang and prayed together that their learning time would be a holy and spiritual experience as well. So when a trip to this country became possible, I jumped at the chance. In the days there, I saw a great deal of the beauty of this country, but more importantly, I experienced the beauty of its people and bore witness to the powerful transformation of a country once in the grip of apartheid that had made remarkable changes in their collective consciousness. We learned so much about Mandela and his rise to the presidency, and learned even more about this amazing and joy-filled priest, Desmond Tutu. Now, Dr. King and Desmond Tutu were undoubtedly brothers in arms, men of their time and particular birthplaces. Dr. King was born on January 15th, 1929, in Atlanta, Georgia, where his grandfather and father and King himself finally served as pastors of the Ebenezer Baptist Church. Tutu was born some 8,000 miles away, just a couple of years later in 1931. Just a few years separated these guys. His father was a teacher, a career that Tutu tried himself for a couple of years, but he was called to become an Anglican priest, ultimately rising to become the Archbishop of Cape Town and caring for over 1 million church members in his country. At the age of 35, Dr. King received the Nobel Peace Prize, as Patricia shared with us, in recognition of his civil rights movement, where he combined his Christian ideals with the techniques of nonviolence from Gandhi. He was then the youngest person ever to receive this esteemed honor. Tutu received his Nobel Peace Prize in 1986 for his opposition to apartheid in South Africa. Apartheid literally translates into the word apartness, and it was a system of segregation and discrimination on the grounds of race, which held this country in its grip from 1948 to 1990, and was used to brutalize and separate the 80% majority of non-whites in South Africa. Archbishop Tutu also emphasized nonviolent means of protest and boldly encouraged economic pressure by all the countries who did business with South Africa. He bravely preached that all were created in the image and likeness of God. During Dr. King's career, I was astounded to learn he traveled over 6 million miles, speaking and preaching wherever there was injustice and protest. He wrote 5 books. He was a powerhouse. He led the huge protest in Birmingham, Alabama that inspired his letter from a Birmingham jail. He helped plan the Freedom Rides to recruit Black voters in the South and directed the March on Washington, attended by 250,000 people, where he inspired the whole world with his I Have a Dream address. Tutu also used his pulpit and charm to speak truth to power. Most importantly, however, I think he profoundly affected South Africa and the world with his work as chairman of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which investigated human rights abuses during apartheid. The basic idea of the TRC, as it came to be known, was that any individual, whatever they had done, was eligible for amnesty, an official pardon, if they would fully disclose their crimes. Victims and perpetrators were invited to tell their stories and witness confessions. Once Tutu was asked, "Why is it so hard for us to say we're sorry?" And Tutu shared his amazement at just how powerful it is to be able to tell our story. Now, participants in the hearings were not required to say that they were sorry, but almost always, he reported, the perpetrators would turn to the victims or the survivors and ask for forgiveness. And almost always, the victims could forgive. And while life is still not perfect in South Africa today, or in America by that means, much progress was made through this unique and powerful healing process. A Washington Post article from 1986 called Tutu Dr. King's natural heir. Now, King was a great political leader, and Tutu really never pretended to be. He always said, "I'm just a religious leader standing in for the real leaders of our people who are in jail or in exile. If I'm a leader, it's by default." And while Dr. King certainly moved with resolve, dealing so skillfully with the likes of J. Edgar Hoover and Lyndon Johnson, he too suffered from self-doubt. In the spring of 1968, the face of civil rights in America was changing, and he had shifted his focus as well, speaking out more and more against the war in Vietnam and economic inequities in our country. His vision for a multiracial unification with the Poor People's Campaign stumbled, and younger Black radicals began to turn away from the nonviolent teachings, perhaps eager to get on with a revolution. One reporter noted, however, the real King was perhaps both radical and pragmatist. prophet and politician. He understood that the clarity of Birmingham and Selma were gone forever and realized the very dangerous territory he was stepping into. In the sermon he offered just before he died, he said, "We've got some difficult days ahead." In fact, on the last Saturday before his assassination in 1968, he sat in his study at Ebenezer Baptist Church with his friend Jesse Jackson, and they talked about possibly stepping away from the movement. And then, Jackson reported, he preached himself out of the gloom, saying, "We must turn a minus into a plus, a stumbling block into a stepping stone. We must go on anyhow." And all these decades later, I think we want to do the same thing. Now, Desmond Tutu was blessed with many more years of life beyond his work with the TRC. He retired from public life in 1996, but continued to work with a wonderful group called the Elders, a dynamic international collection of leaders who worked for conflict resolution and problem solving throughout the world. The group still works together, though some of the members are gone. I can't imagine a more powerful and spirit-filled person joining ranks with people like former President Jimmy Carter, Kofi Annan, and Mary Robinson, who served as the first female president of Ireland. Bishop Tutu, who left us so recently, also kept the bright specter of hope alive and left the world saying, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness." Doesn't that sound like pure unity? Raising our consciousness to remember that God is in charge. So, as we sit here virtually together this morning, looking back and basking in the light and power of Dr. King and Archbishop Tutu, where do we go from here, me and you, together? Well, with hope, we can use our spirit-led powers to raise our consciousness and look past the darkness. And I believe we can see the light at the end of the tunnel of COVID-19 and Omicron, as they are tamed into much more manageable opponents. We can use the skills that we've gathered over the last 2 years of isolation to spring forward with a mighty work, as Charles Fillmore said. In our seniors' adventure meeting on Friday, it was awesome to listen to some of the insights from our own elders here in the community, how we had adapted and evolved together over the last 2 years. We've certainly all learned that time is flying past and there is much to do in our country and in our world. Perhaps if nothing else, we have a clearer understanding of what is truly essential and a greater appreciation for the love and generosity of our brothers and sisters, the neighbors in our buildings, in our unity community here, and on the planet. With prayer and commitment, I believe we can take the ideas and beliefs of these role models we're looking at today and be energized by their emotional and physical courage, their forthrightness in confronting the problems of the world, and their persistence, relentlessness, in speaking truth to power. Every one of us here certainly knows the meaning of the word truth with a capital T, and in this day and time, we have a duty to share it. So today, after service, I want you to take a minute and go online and Google New York City events for Martin Luther King Day. Take a look at the schedule for Monday. There are so many opportunities to be inspired by the teachings of this amazing man in person and virtually. And if our exploration of Desmond Tutu has sparked your interest, I urge you to explore one of his 25 books or go to the NPR website and take time to listen to the January 6th segment of On Being by Krista Tippett, with excerpts from her 2010 interview with Tutu. You can hear his laughter firsthand and get a sense of his joy and his deep spirituality. So, maybe it's not completely clear in your own heart today what is yours to do in this pivotal year of 2022, but I encourage you to read widely and listen deeply to what lights up your heart or brings you to tears. Is it environmental causes or world hunger or voting rights? Or perhaps a grassroots effort, maybe closer to home. We can all do something with what we have today. Now, sure, King and Tutu were towering figures, but let's remember we too are divine children of God, created in the image and likeness of God. And we all know Jesus' promise from John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do. It has been such a joy to be with you here today, and I join with you all in this community as we strive to be about God's work in the world, however that is revealed in our own unique understanding. I want to offer just a few encouraging words from the Book of Joy from the Arch himself, a reminder that our gifts, whatever they are, come from God. God uses each one of us in our own way, Tutu wrote, and even if we are not the best one, we may be the one who is needed, or the one who is there. So let's take heart and be assured that we are all well prepared for this next great journey. The lovely Patricia Boyle will close out our time together today with another inspirational reading. So I will wrap it up with our blessing and affirmation. And so it is. Amen.
The Journey by Mary Oliver. One day, you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do. Though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible, it was already late enough. And a wild night and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save.
Sorry, guys, 1 second, one second. This is...
Let's take a quiet breath in now and open our hearts for a time of meditation. If there are areas of tension you're feeling in your body, focus on them now and feel them relax as you flood these spots with loving care and ease. With intention, we put down any concerns or uneasiness and open our hearts to the stillness. On this sacred day of commemoration of Dr. King, as we celebrate his birthday, let us also celebrate a new awakening in ourselves, a rebirth in spirit, and a recommitment to be the active and loving hands and feet of God on earth. A newly developed spark of energy has been fired in our time together today. It is as clear and crisp as the winter air, and we feel the excited agitation of a bold new idea forming in our consciousness. Just as Dr. King no doubt questioned God and struggled for insight and answers each day, we are here this morning in this quiet time to seek the direction of spirit as well. As we prepare to listen deeply to God within, we feel our own hearts longing to know, what is mine to do? What is my call to action? My purpose? My charge for this bright new year of 2022? Even further into the oasis of peace in our hearts we move as we take comfort remembering there is nothing to fear in this moment of asking and revelation. We are safe and protected in the sheltering arms of spirit and comforted to know in advance we are up to the task. And when our mission, our holy assignment, is made clear, we calmly affirm our readiness and our strength, for we know we are divinely led in this undertaking. It is merely the manifestation of our heart's desire to be the change we wish to see in the world. Trusting that our strength is limitless when magnified by spirit, we declare our ability to stand up to the face of any difficulty. We rely on divine intelligence to give us the voice to proclaim God's peace and power in the midst of any confusion or hardship. And as we move into our time of silence, we bravely welcome the divine insight. Our perfect understanding of Spirit's message for us today in the silence. In the words of Saint Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. So without trepidation, I boldly affirm, I know what to do and how to do it, for I am divinely led and walk by faith. With gratitude, I rise in consciousness to help create a world that works for all. And so it is. Amen.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious, dear. did that grace appear the hour I first beheld.